many cases, entrepreneurs are young individuals. They have great ideas, but they don't have experience to expect or to plan for the details because they don't know the details of the execution. So the devil is in the details. And that's the motto of the entire book. It's kind of holding your hand chapter by chapter on what you need to watch for and what you need to plan for in order to make it a success.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name is Rick Nusky. I love doing this show. I've always enjoyed speaking with amazing individuals, CEOs, founders, book authors, because they just bring such a vibrancy to the show. They talk about topics that help beginner entrepreneurs, startup businesses, existing small to medium-sized businesses with information and insights they need to essentially commercialize products and grow their business. Now, today is no different because I'm on the line with Ariel Brish, and he has a best-selling business book called Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup. Welcome to the show, Ariel.
Thank you, Rick. Happy to be here.
Look, Ariel and I were just talking about some of the things that are going on in the world and looking at blind spot in new products and new services and new businesses. So I think this is going to be very much a hand-in-glove experience for the My Future Business audience, Ariel. But what I like to do at the beginning of every show so they can get some context around you, Ariel, is get you to share a little bit about yourself, where you're located, with the My Future Business audience.
Okay, cool. So my name is Ariel Brish. I'm based in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. Austin was voted in the past few years as the number one place in the U.S. to be in. So when we moved here 30 years ago, it was just a sleepy town, but it evolved into being one of the probably one of the most attractive places people come to from all over the world.
Fantastic. Yeah, I can only just imagine how wonderful it is. Now, I know that you are the founder and CEO at CXO360.net. I think, again, for that context, Ariel, if we could share a little bit about your experience as a founder and CEO and how that led you to create this wonderful book, Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup.
Okay, so I grew up, I started my career in high tech, and back in the days, that was even before a personal computer existed. So we started laying the technology that facilitated personal computers to really become a reality back in the 1980s, mm-hmm. Late 1970s, early 1980s. One of the experiences being at the time, I was a R&D engineer designing semiconductor chips, basically. One of the realization very quickly as an engineer, you try to make the best product ever, mm-hmm. but then you realize, or I realized very quickly, my second assignment was to help commercializing the same semiconductor chip we designed at the time in our R&D center. And it became very apparent that in order to succeed, you need to look after all kinds of disciplines that support this commercial success of your product, whether it's in manufacturing and marketing, mm-hmm. in sales, logistics, supply chain, blah, 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 all the good things that a new idea will not survive without it. And so that was lesson number one that remained with me for the rest of my career.
Do you find that it's very difficult to balance the fundamental needs of a design of a product as opposed to commercializing it? And which one's easier?
I think that the creativity in a new product or a new service can come in different shapes and sizes and colors. And for example, there is a airline here in the U.S., a low-cost airline called Southwest Airline. And their creativity was in the logistics of operating an airline. And they found the right recipe to make it a low-cost airline in different ways without saving in the level of service. They discovered, or it was well known in the airline industry, that the aircraft is making money only when it's flying.
Yes.
So their entire logistics was around the minimizing ground time, maximizing flying time. Therefore, that helps them reduce the cost. And I don't want to get into too many details. Mm-hmm. It will take the entire interview here. But their secret formula was how to minimize ground time.
Right.
And it made them very successful, one of the most successful airlines in the world. Most of the airlines are domestic in the U.S., so they probably not very well known outside of the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
but they are super successful, have been super successful for many, many years. So creativity doesn't have to be in the product itself. Another example, IBM PC, for example, it was not the best PC in the personal computer in the world back in the early 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
What IBM was creative about, it was something they called at the time value-added channel. So they opened the architecture of their personal computer, which at the time was unheard of, to open your kimono and allow different channel partners to mess around with your product. And the channel partners were able, by opening the kimono in the way they did, they allowed the channel partners to add value to the product in different, writing different software, different packaging, different distribution channels. And by doing that, they motivated so many people, channel partners, to support the product. So their creativity was in open the kimono, so to speak, and open the door to the entire ecosystem to carry the product forward.
That's wonderful feedback. Thank you so much. You would never normally think about the lateral movement in terms of, you know, the psychology behind product development. But with this commercialization, mm-hmm. I think it's important that we share a little bit about what is commercialization for those who are maybe just getting into this space. Could you just break it down into, I guess, its fundamental components?
Well, so the commercialization in one sentence, maybe take the product, be able to deliver it to the customers and make money out of this delivery. That's I'm not reading from a dictionary, just from my experience.
Yeah.
And different products have different challenges of doing it, whether it's a new type of electrical vehicle, whether it's a new restaurant, whether it's a new hair salon. So any new service has challenges in making it a commercial success. And the book talks about all these challenges. The structure of the book is almost like a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
There is like 20 or 30 items or check items you need to be aware and make sure you cover them.
Yeah.
Many of them are pretty trivial, but all you need is one or two that will fail you. So, and the checklist, by the way, is free download on my website. You can download it and just go through the list and make sure you are aware of each item. Many of them will be just an easy check. I thought about this, I thought about that, but a few may be something you need to spend more time in thinking about, resolving whatever the obstacle is there.
It seems to me that different products and services and businesses would have a different, I guess, amount of time from concept, from an idea to actual commercialization. What is the typical process, and how long would it take, have you seen in your experience?
That's an excellent question. It all depends on on the industry you are in. Some industries, like let's say you're planning to design a new type of commercial airplane, that could take many, that takes many years. A new type of vehicle, so we all experience new models every year, but if you're coming up with a new concept vehicle, it could take years to develop, could take years to convince people that it's a good idea. That's one of the obstacles. And the book, by the way, talks about innovation in general or new products in general, whether you are an entrepreneur, start a new company around this new idea, or you are an executive inside or an engineer inside of large corporations. There are different obstacles or different challenges if you're an innovator inside a big company or if you're starting your own company. In every chapter, I talk about both situations, what challenges an entrepreneur in this particular topic is facing, what challenges of a large company employee is facing for this particular topic, and very often the challenges are different. One of the examples I talk about is the invention, so to speak, of minivan. Today, you know, it's pretty common to have some kind of a minivan or SUV almost for every middle-class family. But when Chrysler came up with this new concept back in the 80s again, it was totally new, and the team inside Chrysler that came up with this new idea took them several years to just convince their management that it's a good idea, and let's design a vehicle like this and let's commercialize it. And it became a huge commercial success for Chrysler.
Now, globally.
And the pregnancy was very long, many, many years, just to convince management to put money on this project.
That's wonderful insight, because it got me thinking, Ariel, about strategy. It got me thinking about human psychology and the ability to use leadership in the workplace. How do these things fit into what you're talking about within your book?
Super excellent question. Once again, the let's say you have a wonderful new idea. You are an employee in a big company, whether it's a, I don't know, General Motors or Airbus or whatever other, IBM. You have to convince your management, and this process could take, you know, 1 to 3 years. If you're an entrepreneur trying to make this new idea a reality, maybe you have to convince less people in your immediate working environment, but then in many cases you have to raise some money to make it happen. Sometimes you may have the funding sources in your immediate reach, and sometimes you have to look for external funding, and that could take, you know, 6 to 12 months to convince people or investors to invest in your new idea.
Yeah, it's not just a matter of walking up to a VC, venture capitalist, and saying, hey, look, I've got this great idea. There is very much a structure. There's oftentimes a lot of documentation. There's lots of financial, verification and laying out the numbers on the page. Is this something that your book talks about?
Yes. So one of the chapters in the book talks about raising money for the new project, and I have several examples. By the way, speaking about examples, I tried to take examples from, first of all, different industries. And the point is, innovation is not just about inventing some new technology gadget. So you can have an innovation in chemistry, you can have an innovation in health and medical and food supply and airlines and tourism and any industry. you can invent something new, and part of the message in the book, you need to innovate to stay in business. So even if your business is successful, don't just lie back and hope that the success will continue. You need to be ahead of the curve and keep innovating in your business. So that's one thing. Variety of industries, it will have something for every, no matter what industry you are, whether you are a fashion or airline or technology, you'll have something in the book. And in many cases, you can learn from one another. People spend most of their career in one industry, and they get focused in the way things are being done in that one industry. They are spending most of their career. But if you look to other industries, in many cases you'll find out that the challenge you're facing today was solved in some other industry in some different way, because it's a different industry, but it, from a generic business point of view, it was solved, or most likely was solved, somewhere else in some other industry. And some of my examples, the other thing unique about the book is the examples are, in many cases, very old examples. And once again, from a generic business point of view, you can learn from 100 years old example on how the telephone was invented or how the light bulb was invented. I go back in my speaking engagement, I talk about the invention of the wheel and how that was commercialized and what type of obstacles they had to go through thousands of years ago, and making the parallels to today's business environment. So you can learn from thousands of years old examples or new products and find the parallels for whatever, you know, smartphone gadget you're trying to develop today.
Yeah, we can certainly learn from the past, can't we? And I often think about this, you know, this statement that I once heard is, what got you here won't get you there. And this is that concept of this idea, this important element of innovation. And another thing that I've taken from this, Ariel, is that this isn't just about product innovation. It can be process innovation, and it can go across many different industries, and it does. But more importantly, I'd like to ask you, Ariel, you talk about learning from the past, and you talk about learning from different industries. What about learning from nature as it applies to design and innovation?
Right, so all your questions are putting the next chapter in my mind. So one of the chapters is talking about adaption or managing the ecosystem. So many new entrepreneurs or new businesses or corporations, they will talk about the ecosystem. And part of the so-called business development process, I kind of change the terminology. I call it ecosystem development, because you have to make sure that your new product will survive the ecosystem, and more so, not just survive, but you have to create a situation where the ecosystem will support your product. And that's the best case, is when the ecosystem, all the elements in your ecosystem support your product, and in which case they push you forward. I call it tailwind. So you need to create this tailwind by the ecosystem to push your new product forward. We mentioned IBM personal computer. That was a genius way to do that. They created a way where the ecosystem basically made the IBM PC a huge, huge success.
I'm looking at the book here, and I think to myself, if I'm just starting out, Ariel, what are the top three things that you would tell me to focus on first?
You know, test your new idea, and you don't have to do expensive market research. Just ask a few friends and family if what they think about it, or a few colleagues that were in the office, or whatever it is. You can, you know, get some people's feedback. And validate sometimes it. You think your idea is so great that you don't want to share it with anybody, so they will steal your secret. But without people's feedback, you know, it will never fly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely one thing. The other thing is the business model. How do you charge for this product? How much people are willing to pay for it? How much will it cost for you to make it happen? And if it's a business, for-profit business, you have to make sure that your cost of implementing your new product or manufacturing it, if it's a hardware product or whatever the cost is, and people will pay enough to make profit out of this new service. And that sounds, you know, so obvious, but there is an issue called learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, implementing the new product or the new service at the beginning costs more than what people are willing to pay for. So I do have a chapter there about learning curve. I call it learning curve management, where there are two ways to approach this issue. One is in your budget. You have to budget for the fact that you most likely will lose money at the beginning of mm-hmm. your journey,
mm-hmm.
because people are not willing. Let's say people will pay for this gadget $10, okay? But the first few or thousands of units that you have to build cost you more than that. So you're going to lose money out of this, and you have to budget for it. This is one type of strategy, budget for the learning curve losses.
Mm-hmm.
The other type is you have to, it's more on the marketing angle, find applications for the new product that will pay, are willing to pay a higher price for this new service or product. And for example, in some cases, the government will pay more for the same gadget than if you try to sell it to a teenager in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
So find a government application that can use this new idea for the first few months or few years, and by doing that, by having government buying it, you get down the cost curve, and eventually it will become an affordable gadget that every teenager will buy.
This is a wonderful call, Ariel. This is one of those topics that is so deep and so wide that we could literally spend hours on it. Now, a couple of things that have come up for me. I'm thinking about the legal protection, you know, trademarking prior to, you know, and patenting prior to releasing of commercialization of that product or process. But I'm also thinking about, you know, tooling costs if it's a physical widget that you're creating. I guess one of the things I'd love to, I guess, to talk about is this idea of, you talked about a little bit earlier about fear of letting your idea get out there, but you have to do that. Would you recommend patenting early if you think it's a thing that's going to fly, or at least putting some sort of trademark protection around your product or process?
Yeah, this is one question I'm struggling with for many, many years. and you hear it from people. The first question you ask, okay, it's such a great idea, did you patent it? And in many cases, the answer, like you said, people tell you, oh, if I try to patent it, people will copy it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big struggle. By the way, going back to the name of the book, it's a chicken and an egg struggle. And the name of the book comes from this metaphor, chicken and an egg, always.
Thought so.
Yeah, entrepreneurs have this dilemma, and the intellectual property is one of them, chicken and an egg. Mm-hmm. When should I patent? If I patent too early, people may copy for me. If I patent too late, somebody else will come up with this new idea and get the glory. And I do talk about that dilemma. One good example is the invention of the telephone. There were several individuals working on the same thing. Alexander Graham Bell had the money and the political connections to be the first one to get approved, his patent to get approved.
Mm-hmm.
And the moral of the story is you need the right connections and the right and enough money to issue a patent, because let's say you did issue a patent, somebody tries to copy, and now you need all this money to pay your lawyers to sue the other business that copied your patent. So issue a patent is not a guaranteed protection. If somebody chooses to copy it, you need the money to sue that other entities. So there's lots of issues around that, and the we talked about startups that raise VC money. One of the questions a VC will ask you is, did you issue a patent? And if the answer is yes, it's good. But then they'll tell you, okay, that's not good enough because people will copy your patent, and do you have the money to defend yourself, defend the patent?
Mm.
Usually the answer is no.
No, but it's, I think it's one of my future business mission is to improve the success rate of small to medium-sized organization. This is why this is such a hand-in-glove experience for those who are on the show today, because there are too many people failing out there that are trying to be this entrepreneur with successful outcomes, and that is in reflection of what you're currently doing. Now, Ariel, when people want to work with you, what would you tell them about your business?
My business today is helping other entrepreneurs and in getting a successful journey. And the motto of the book and the motto of my business approach is the devil is in the details. In many cases, entrepreneurs are young individuals. They have great ideas, but they don't have experience to expect or to plan for the details because they don't know the details of the execution. So the devil is in the details. Warren Buffett summarized the idea the best. He said, an idiot with a good plan will outperform a genius without a plan.
Absolutely.
And that's the motto of the entire book. It's kind of holding your hand chapter by chapter on what you need to watch for and what you need to plan for in order to make it a success.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Look, everybody's on the show today. There's lots to take away from this call, and I'm going to make some links back to Ariel and his wonderful team shortly. Now, Ariel, if people do want to work with you and they want to get your book, where are they going to find you and your book?
Okay, so the book is available on Amazon. Once again, it's called Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup. It's available as an e-book as well as paper. And so that's one way to get the website for my business is www.cxo360.net. The website has lots of free downloads, so you can get some of my wisdom for free. And then there is a link to contact me, and I always happy to help people. You know, the first chat will be free. I don't charge for, you know, having a 20 minutes phone call with somebody or an email.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it clicks, if we both like each other, we can continue and engage in a longer-term arrangement.
That's fantastic. Look, everybody was on the call today, as is normally the case. I will be making some links and making them available below this post. No matter where you find Ariel's wonderful interview on the show today, you will be able to get back to cxo360.net. Ariel, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business show today.
Thank you, Rick. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.